right, everyone. Welcome to the Chattering Classes, and joining me tonight is Mr. Ben Wiggins. Hello, Ben.
It's oh look, it's always a pleasure. It's very nice to just to get a little bit of time, with my friend.
Indeed, indeed. We I'm going to front load this episode by just talking about
warning.
Yes, we are going to talk about cricket and sport, but mainly just cricket. Tonight, and for those of you who don't turn off quick, we missed them already. People have already skipped past this already.
That's all right.
But our goal isn't to just talk about what are good moments that happen in cricket we've watched and how good cricket, and just get sidetracked by cricket. There will be some of that. But the goal is by the end of the podcast to give people an understanding of why people like cricket, rather than telling you why cricket is good. I hope that makes sense. Is a bit, not so much why we like cricket, but why cricket holds a very special place in our lives. Would you agree, Wiggins?
Oh, absolutely. That cricket holds a special place in our life, without a shadow of a doubt.
So, like, why cricket, Wiggins? Am I wrong in... Well, let's just start very generally.
Yes.
We're both pretty nutty when it comes to sport, right?
Yeah, it's like an overarching craziness. Like my wife, to give the listeners a sort of an understanding of the scope in which she sees, like the filter in which she sees my sport mania, is that she walked in on me watching, like, what's the fucking soccer, but on the beach, on the volleyball court?
Right, yeah, like the, where they keep it up in the air.
Yeah, keep it up. And I was watching that and I was engrossed. And she said, what is this? I said, I don't even know. She said, you watch fucking anything, won't you? And she continues to bring that up as an example of, you know, it's the two snails climbing up a wall.
Yeah.
Theory in that, yes, I'm more than happy to pretty much watch anything, any competitive sport. I mean, even on a holiday many years ago with a couple of friends, and I'm disappointed that you weren't there, but a friend and I went out to the back of our hotel room and there was a cricket ground. So we literally, it was at Port Macquarie, and we looked out over this ground and we thought, oh, they'll probably play there on the Saturday. So we were staying there for the week, and this was, you know, this was the Monday, and we thought, oh, surely there's going to be a game on the Saturday. Luckily enough, there was. So we took a lounge, put it on the back deck, watched the game, scored the game.
Yeah.
Drank a case and a half for the entire day and actually gave everyone names. So we couldn't.
I know exactly. I mean, it's not going to be of any surprise to you, but as soon as you invest.
Yeah.
So you have to invest some make believe into it, like make believe importance, right?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. There was an absolute belief that we knew exactly what was going on.
Exactly.
And we had a dude named Intent, which was great. And you know exactly why.
You don't have to go any further. Our good friend Stuart Buckland and I, one of my favourite memories from high school, was for some reason a teacher asking us to come and help set up the volleyball courts and do the scoring for a school volleyball competition. And we proceeded for the entire afternoon to commentate on the game while we were scoring it, and the opposition, our players just had their uniform, or the opposition players were, I don't know what school they were from, but they were obviously good at playing because they had individual names, and
that would have made it amazing.
So there were, yeah, so then you were like, oh, he's in form, and oh, watch out for him, and people had nicknames. We did that the whole time, and I remember someone else sitting with us the whole time just bewildered, baffled by what the hell we were doing. But it reminds me that of watching the cricket was at Stu's wedding, was the same thing, was he got married, and the place he got married, the reception, overlooked a cricket ground. There was some fourth or fifth grade game, and we discussed the field positions and where everyone should be, and at length, and until someone said, "Are you taking this as seriously as you would a test match?" And we said, "Exactly right.
Yeah,
that is exactly how it should be done." Now, again, branching over any sport and watching any sport was when you came to visit in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We had where were we in Nikko in the snow? We went up and we're all in the snow, and then we had a spa in the hot springs. And I remember coming out and sitting with a bunch of like five or six Japanese men, none of whom were under 70, and the sumo was on.
Mm.
And even in my broken Japanese, I remember talking to them about who was the favorite and this young guy coming in. I like him. And again, they were sort of like taken aback. They were like, "Oh, how do you, why do you know this?"
Yeah, wow.
It's the same thing. All it took was me to watch a tournament or two, and then start following the results in the newspaper. And no one else, I don't know anyone else who was into it as much as me. I never really talked about it. But when it was on TV, I knew, this is the guy. Here's the Yokozuna, but he's the favorite. But this young guy coming through who's from Georgia, he's awesome, and he's so young, and all this stuff. Just
I
remember
that Georgian dude. I'm sure, because we went and saw it. Like
we went to see it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, Hakuho, man, Hakuho. I think he went Yokozuna. I think he did finally step up to where I thought he was going to be and take down the Yokozuna Asashoru, who was from Mongolia. Like, I still remember it.
And we're down the rabbit hole.
And we're down the rabbit hole. Sorry, everyone. But it was that idea of whatever sport's on, I'll watch it. If it's on and I watch it, I'll invest. That's why the Olympics is great. You can start watching diving and be like, "Oh, yep, came out of the tuck."
So, yeah, that's right. Is it because so these people are good enough to be playing or performing for their country, so it's important? Or, you know, like these people are, like, no matter what it is that a portion? I think it is for me. Like, I watched Australia play.
I reckon it's even like at a very core level, what's important to us and what we respect in other people is reading the game.
Yes.
So it's not excellent. Just that is stupid. That is great. It's that moment, and I'm sure you can remember where it's happened, where you've predicted what's going to happen, or you've had a sense of how the game's going. Yeah, a turning point that no one else has noticed yet. That you can tell, even if the score, like you're watching soccer or football or something, and the score's nil all, or one team's winning, you're like, "Oh, I don't know." It's the same in basketball. One team might be ahead, but you're like, "They're not playing that well," and you can sense the opposition getting back into it.
Yep.
Almost, and if you can do that before the crowd does or before the commentators do, that's important.
And that's why, I mean, we both very much enjoyed, like specifically cricket, the people like Richie Beno.
Yeah.
Who were just so wonderful at reading the game and being able to express it very succinctly, and being able to just say, "Well, that's a moment in time right there. Just, you know, put a pin in that."
Yeah.
And we'll move on. But
Richie Beno and probably Ian Chappell as well have that. Well, this is happening. The score might be this, but I can sense this is happening. And we're going to sound like old people, but the commentators these days are rubbish for that.
Yes, they are.
No nuance.
That's right. But, okay, so bringing it back to why we love sport, cricket specifically, is that it's not, like there's, because it goes over 5 days, so there's 30 hours to digest.
Yeah.
But in a 15-minute period, enough can happen that it changes the entire 30 hours.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons why I love cricket, and the fact that, you know, people, you know, bitch and moan about how it can go on for 5 days and, you know, there's no result. Well, there is a result, but, you know, no one wins. Well,
yes.
You know, there are, like, that's part of it. Like, that's, it's not disappointing, unless it's a fucking flat track. But anyway, that's, unless both teams get 7,000.
Yes, I would agree with that.
That is shit. Like, that's shit cricket, really. Yeah. There needs to be, personally, I find that there is more to gain in a game of cricket when there's a bit in the track.
Yes.
So everyone gets a real, you know, maybe a little, even a little bit sort of slightly favoured towards the bowler, because, like, that shows who's got the skill and who's got the will.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about it because obviously there is cricket on right now. And
right.
I'm thinking
so
about that as we're talking about it. But there was a little bit in the track, and we looked really good early, but now they are actually batting quite well. And it's like, okay, we needed something a little earlier than that. We need another wicket or two. But if there's something in the pitch all the time, then it is just riveting viewing.
So this is what you're going to try and explain before we lose any people any further.
Yep.
Is what does the theatre of cricket mean? Because people like to throw that about, and, you know, that's the theatre of cricket, but what does that actually mean?
All right. I don't know how I'm going to bring this back, but I'm going to try. So I was given a statistic about 20 years ago that made me think about cricket in a different way. Over a six-hour period, right, there are 3 2-hour sessions.
Yeah.
Over that 6 hours in a day, do you know how long the ball is actually in play?
I know you're
going to
say, how long is the ball in play? I don't know, but I know it's not very fucking much.
17 minutes.
So there's 17 minutes of action.
In a six-hour day.
Yes. And this is
so
why...
So the theatre is...
This is why you can go to the cricket and get so drunk.
Exactly.
Because you only have to focus for 17 minutes a day.
That's right. And look, if you get really drunk, you're probably only going to focus for 9 of those minutes.
Yeah.
And then VBS Laxman's going to get 160. And
we've been to some days of the cricket where we haven't focused for 17 minutes, that's for sure.
But that's what... That's the theatre there, is the other 5 hours and 43 minutes.
Mm.
Is that everything else that's happening, because there's 13 players on the field... And there's something happening all the time.
Yeah.
Someone's moving. Someone's chirping at the batsman. Someone's fucking picking their nose
but
and wiping
this
it
is
on
the
floor.
This is the issue, Wiggins. This is the issue. For us,
yep.
Something is always happening. But for the person who's not that into cricket, nothing's happening. Nothing's really happening unless something really exciting's happening. Like, you know, something major's happening, someone's about to score 100, there's nearly the end of the game, it's really tense. The only time ever that Justine has got involved in watching cricket in an exciting manner was when we beat England in Adelaide, where for 4 days nothing happened, and
then the last day
everything happened,
yeah, everything
and it came down
then.
To the last half hour.
Oh.
That was the only time where and again, this is the theatre of it, or the... that it does go for 5 days, was nothing happened, and then so this was going to happen. It was all very exciting. Someone rang me on the phone, said, you should come to the pub. We're watching, like, the last session. So Juz and I went to the pub, and it was packed, and it was, a Tuesday afternoon, and it was packed. We won. It was all very exciting. Within 20 minutes, there was no one in the pub. It was just everyone had just left. But so the theatre of it is, for us, is... nearly every ball that's happening, every ball something's happening.
Yep.
But I can tell you, watching, and I'm not, we're not going to speak of his personality at all, but watching Shane Warne bowl one spell against South Africa, whenever that was, 20 years ago, was the tensest, sporting moment that I've ever seen. He just could not bowl a bad ball, and no one could bat against him. And it was just incredible. It'd be one of those things where, you know, if I have grandchildren who like cricket, they will ask me because my grandfather liked cricket. And what do I ask him? Did you ever see Don Bradman bat? Yes, he did. He saw him play for New South Wales, blah, 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 blah. He liked this guy. And he knew all these players. And my grandkids will ask, like, did you ever see
Who'd
Shane
you
Warne
see?
bowl? And I'll be like, yes. And I saw this where, I don't know if you got many wickets, but it was mesmerizing. It was that theater of cricket. But it's hard to convince, and it's even hard to see that through a television if you're like us, not really into cricket. What's the big deal?
So we played cricket. So there is an understanding of how difficult the process is. Like, we used to stand in the field for 6 hours or
Yes.
5 hours, and that was enough.
Do you ever think, do you ever look back and go, why did we do that? Because I
Yes.
do. I don't get it. I really struggle.
It's fucking mental.
So the last, what about the, can you remember the last time you played a full day's cricket?
My thighs can.
You've got thigh memory from
That's a very personal joke. Like I remember
You put up with a lot of chafing, don't you,
I
when
did, I
studying
did, I had
cricket?
a terrible chafing. That was the one thing. I don't understand why I did it. Like, I enjoyed the camaraderie of it, and I enjoyed the in between. So, I mean, you know, but the chafing was definitely a massive negative.
That's a big negative, isn't it? Yeah, but I know for a fact the last time I played, oh, I don't know, it was maybe 10 years ago, and I remember thinking, I like felt like when I played in the under tens, and there were some kids there that didn't really want to be there, play with grass, have a look around, never really mind on the game. I was always focused on the game. But the last time I played, I was like, fielding is boring. Where after I got out when I batted, I wanted to just go home. I just and the other thing I noticed too was I forgot how I'd aged. I forgot that I'd aged. And I was still in my late 20s, but I remember forgetting that at every time the ball was hit near me, and when I dived to stop the ball, going, oh, fucking hell, that
That
hurt.
hurt.
And it never used to.
It hits you on the wrong part of the palm,
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
now. Look,
It's.
we're being a little bit negative here.
Oh, no, we're going to get more negative. Don't worry about that. There'll be more negativity. That's why cricket's a great game.
So, being 6 foot 5, it was very difficult to hide me in the field. You would think that I would have been a pretty good gully fieldsman or something along those lines, but I was very good at backward square leg.
Right.
Off you. That was
Yes.
pretty much. So if you were bowling, you put me in backward square and or square leg, and everything would have been fine.
That was weird, wasn't it? There was a season we played together where maybe 3 or 4 games in a row, the first wicket I would take would be caught Wiggins bowl Barry. It was bizarre.
And it was always the same spot.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was good. I mean, well, that showed, like, we went through a period where I would just kind of look at you and you'd go, "Yeah, you're going there." And, "All
Yeah.
right, no worries." And then in the next 3 balls, someone would hit it either directly to me or,
Close enough.
close enough. You're a pretty
Shoot your
big
big
bloke.
buckets on there. Yep, you'd be right. Yeah,
The
weird. Very weird. But
It was
yeah,
odd.
it's so you were never one for fielding.
Well, no, because. Like, I had a pretty good pair of hands, but it was I couldn't run. I had a custard arm. I never really got a bowl because I was fucking hopeless.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest mysteries of life, is a 6 foot 5, rangy, broad-chested, big-shouldered man coming into bowling fruity off-spin was something I never could get my head around. Why didn't you just try and bend your back and wang a few down?
Well, just a bad action and
Bad, just
terrible
technique.
coordination.
Oh,
I
right.
was never actually taught
Yep.
how to bowl. And my dad was a bowler. Like, that's how I got into cricket. My dad played cricket.
And he was quite good. I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you, you followed your dad into cricket.
Yeah, and I think I just did it because that's what he did. And my, like, other friends, like, family friends that we had were playing cricket. And so they just went, well, you go and play cricket. Like, your dad and I played cricket together, so you're going to play cricket with their kids. And I was like, all right, cool. That was fine. So we played. I really enjoyed it. Like, I played a lot of cricket.
Yeah.
But I wasn't that good. You know, I really wasn't that good at it.
Right.
I enjoyed it, and I think I had a good cricket brain.
Yeah.
But I would probably be, like, the comp would probably be Mike Brearley.
Far out. Okay, all right.
Probably.
Sorry, everyone. I tried, but he just likened himself to Mike fucking Brearley.
Oh, dear. Just, like, good cricket brain.
Yeah, not that much talent. Good captain, not a good player. Right.
Not a very good player.
Yeah.
The
What years was he captain of England, Wiggins?
Oh, God, I don't know. I just knew that he was a captain. He was picked as captain, not as anything else. Well, he would never 81. Have been picked as a bat.
He might have been 81. That would have even been before you remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry, yes, everyone. You know what? I would say I have an excellent sporting brain in any sport I played.
Yep.
In any sport I played a lot of different sports. At school, I think I got an all-rounders award for playing 5 or 6 different sports for the school. I played a bit of rugby league. I played union at school. I played AFL for a couple of seasons. And I've played soccer since I moved to Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, I don't know, countless seasons of cricket. And I always could read the game. Whatever game it was, it took me a little while at first, whatever I was playing, but then I could read the game really well. I just didn't have the talent to, like, achieve. There was always a frustration. I could never... It was the same. I had the same feeling playing sport as I did in art class at school.
Oh, you knew what you had to do, but you couldn't actually put it down on paper.
I had great ideas. Yep. Great ideas.
Yep.
And then I'd draw them and they'd go, that's not right. I'll try again. No. Nope. Yep. I could never put what was in my brain.
Mind's eye.
Mind's eye was great.
Yep.
Mind's eye was great. And I still do that from time to time. I still find myself, mind's eye, forgetting I'm playing the game.
Oh.
And actually... go, they should move there. And I just probably played too much PlayStation in my younger days.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll go, that's PlayStation. And I used to do it playing soccer where I would actually point to people. Run there.
You need to be there.
They'd run there and I'd pass it to them. And it sometimes it would work out. But most of the time I'd try and pass it to them and kick it out because I just didn't have the skills.
There's that talent void.
Yeah, that's right. I had a massive talent void.
Horrifying. Look, I think most people in our situation had a massive talent void.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was ever a situation that I was put in where I went, I hadn't actually thought of that. Or, you know, like that idea is so far out of the realms of what I'd thought that I don't understand it. Like that never occurred to me in sport.
Yeah.
But go out and get 100 and hit everything along the ground.
Yeah.
No. I enjoyed hitting the ball in the air. It's fun. Sadly, that portion of the game I was very good at.
Yeah. Sadly, hitting the ball in the air was your strength.
Forte.
Yeah. Right. Goodo. Well, this is what I wanted to talk about. We're getting into how we're deficient in sport.
Yeah.
Okay. It might have to do with cricket, right? But one thing I love thinking about and analysing is form. I love looking at form. And I look at it I've ever talked to you about this.
I need specifics. So form can be two things. Form can be the actual, like, say, the player's form. So that over a period of time, they've been in exceptional form, like a zone,
yeah,
or watching a player play a particular sport and their form is tremendous. So the aesthetic of actually watching them play.
No, I'm talking about personally the being in the zone.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep. Okay.
And because I think about it, I think about it in work situations. I always have. Yep. I used to think about it working with you at Kodak. If you're in the zone selling lots of things, I thought about it especially when I worked in a bar, because you do get into a zone. Where if you work in a really busy bar, you can feel like, all right, I'm doing everything perfectly when I need to do it.
Yep.
And I still get obsessed with it in teaching as well, which is weird, where I'm like, right, I'm kicking a bit, I'm into a bit of form here, because I find terms at school have their own, like a sports season. Like, you have your dips and you have your peaks. And so you can tell, I can tell, like, oh, I'm fucking, I'm shit hot form with teaching this week, because I'm just, everything's working out. I'm firing off all these ideas. Yep. I'm in the zone. I'm coming up with ideas on the spot that are 10 times better than what I've written down. And then other times I'm like, oh, fuck, this is really horrible.
I'm dredging the bottom of the
barrel. Yeah, exactly. I'm sludging through the day.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you. Maybe, is that anything that you've ever done, is form in your day-to-day life?
Basically being a salesman.
Yeah.
Like I, as soon as you said that, I thought, okay, the last 3 weeks of my work life have been a massive roller coaster from my personal perspective.
Yeah.
In the fact that I'd gotten into a really good, basically I'm a coach. I'm a sales coach.
Right.
And the last sort of 4 weeks, the first 2 weeks, I'd hit a really good point where everyone was clicking and I was just making little adjustments here and there and making little suggestions and bang, you make a suggestion here and you see 2 hours later that X, Y, and Z has fallen into place.
Yeah, that's the sport coach, Wiggins, that when everything's succeeding, no one notices you.
Yeah, and then I know that over the last week and a half, that's dipped off because there's been a shift in focus. So we had stock tape.
Right, everyone's and that favorite.
Everyone sort of, there's a real negativity around stock take,
right?
Because it's a couple of late nights. It's basically a very monotonous, mind-numbing job that you've just got to do. Like, it's one of those things, you've just got to do it. You don't really get much out of it from at a personal perspective, but it's got to be done. So it's sort of this wall that everyone has to break through. And up until that point, all the sales guys, we were actually doing really well. We had some really good results. And over the last sort of 2 weeks, it's really dropped off. And I know that I haven't been doing the same things that I'd been doing before.
Right. So, how do you dig yourself out of bad form in your day-to-day life? Do you do this? How do you dig your way out of form? Well, maybe let's bring it back to sport and think... Okay. Remember when both of us spent a lot of our time trying to bat and score runs,
yes,
with varying levels of success. What can you remember the feeling of what it's like to be in a form slump?
Yes.
Okay, because this is one of the things that I think I read or I heard Andrew Denton talk about, is that cricket is a game that, because a lot of people play to their level, so when you're a junior, you play at your age group. And when you're when you're playing senior, you are playing at your level. So your games, and it's a lot of sports are like this, I guess, but your games mirror what happens at a test level. You can empathize with test players because they're playing at their elite level and you're playing at the best level you can play at. And so you have similar experiences.
But it's a test. It's still a test.
Yeah. So what's it like to be in a form slump, to not be able to score a run and to be just horrible?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get out of it?
Well, If I can tell you a story that goes over the course of a season.
Oh, God, okay.
Okay. So I had come back from England.
Right. Oh, right. Okay. This could now, be like, you should, this really should be a story that you write yourself.
I really like this story because this was the beginning and the end of me wanting and then never wanting to play cricket again.
Wow, okay.
So I went over to England and was there for 4 or 5 months and showed up, didn't know anyone, walked down to a ground, they were playing cricket. I asked the dude, can I play cricket? He said, yep, show up on Tuesday night. I showed up on a Tuesday night, played a twilight game till 10 o'clock.
Yes.
I had a quick bat, but didn't really, like, there wasn't any sort of, oh, you know, this is going to be amazing. It was just sort of very nondescript game of Tuesday night cricket. And they said, okay, come back again on Saturday and we'll play. And I went out and got like 40.
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone, went out, got 40, batted really well. Now, that season, I scored 200s. I scored a couple of knocks that sort of won us games and got written up in the local paper. And, you know, like it wasn't a high level of cricket. Let's not mess around with the story here. I just was playing like park cricket and got some runs. But
yeah. What do they call you, Wiggins?
The Wizard.
The Wizard Wiggins. You still,
that's right.
Still call him that to this day.
That's right.
Still comes out every now and then.
Now, I loved playing cricket at that stage. Like, it was a great bunch of guys. I was playing 3 times a week. I was actually playing really well. And I was in the zone. Like, I went out in one game and we were 1 for 53 off 5 overs and I had 52 of them. Now, like, that doesn't happen very much. And I remember that because I got out the next ball and walked off and went, what's the score? And looked at it and, yeah, that's what happened. So I then came back after we'd won the competition in England.
Right.
Now, I say England as if it was like the entire country of England. No, this was a very small portion of York that had maybe 8 teams that had most people showed up drunk. And so we won. They haven't won the comp in 40 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was all very exciting.
Oh,
and
thanks I came to the Wiz.
Well, I was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. So I came back and then came to play with you at your minor.
Indeed. And there was heat. There was talk.
There was a lot of talk.
The Wizard is coming to play for us.
And first game, I got 50-odd and played some... Oh,
fucking great shots.
I played some shots.
Leaving the memory. This is the thing as well about being sport crazy and cricket nuts is it doesn't matter who's playing and what level it's at. If someone plays a perfect backfoot cover drive, now I remember it.
Everyone just goes, oh, shot.
Yeah.
Like, when you know you've played a good shot, when everyone around in that is, oh, ooh. Like, everyone either goes, ooh, or goes, oh, shot.
I remember playing a game where we were, it was the end of a fucking long season, and we were dispirited, and it was just horrible, couldn't wait for the season to end. And this guy played the best square drive I've ever seen, and everyone just clapped. Everyone just clapped. I was like, that's amazing. Everyone just clapped. Everyone from our team and their team just... Oh, that was just tremendous. Well done. We like cricket. You've just reminded us we like cricket.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's one thing about cricket as well. I'll go back to the story in a second. But that's one thing about cricket is that some things in cricket, you just have to clap. Like, you just have to... It's sort of part of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's part of the manners of cricket, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's probably...
Because it's not a gentleman's game. It's certainly not in Australia, it's not a gentleman's game.
No, but not at all, but...
If someone bowls you a good ball, then you acknowledge it.
Yep, exactly.
And if they don't, you give them shit, and that's about it.
So, first game back,
All right, yep.
I come out, I'm still a bit of swagger, you know.
Still a wizard.
I'm the wizard. Bang, go out. Get 50-odd, feeling it, like just feeling myself. Just like, oh, then played a fucking woeful shot to get out. I still remember the shot that I got, that I played to get out.
Yeah.
Next game, got 40-odd, played well, played a terrible shot to get out. Again, hitting the ball in the air. And then all this chatter
yeah.
about, oh, well, we got to pick him in first grade.
Right. That's right, because we've started in second grade.
That's right. Now, I was batting at four, I think. I think I was batting at four and was going okay. And then got picked in first grade and batted at eight.
Yeah.
Now, that...
I hate that.
Now, that's a... For people that don't know, like, you have certain spots that you're going to bat in the batting lineup.
Yeah.
And when you get shunted out of that spot, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because it's... The way you bat dictates the way that the game is being played at that particular time.
Yes.
So that was really hard. So it was a step up in quality.
Yeah.
And it's a big step up. Like a first grade to second grade on the Central Coast was a massive step up.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, because I'd never played first grade before. So within the same season, I had gone from being the wizard... in the first couple of games and really feeling myself and just being like, I can do this. This is great. You know, I'm really happy with how I'm playing.
Yeah.
To having a bit of a failure in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, I don't really know anyone in first grade. So it's a different team dynamic as well.
Yeah.
Playing three games.
But they batted you at eight, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
So this is what happened to me in England, and this is... Because I always hated that because I played second grade for years and never good enough to play first grade unless someone was injured or out or something. But when I went to England, they used to do that shit all the time.
And, like switch the batting line up.
Or you're playing second grade or whatever and then you get picked in first grade and they just don't play. So I was opening the batting and opening the bowling. They had third grade and first grade, so there was a real step up. And first grade in the county I played in, that was probably a higher standard than first grade on the Central Coast. But anyway,
yep.
I opened the batting and opened the bowling, and then got picked in first grade and didn't bowl and batted at 11.
Mm.
That is last. And sat there watching these absolute dickheads go out there and not be able to bat at all. Well, I wasted my Saturday when I could have been playing involved in every part of the game.
That's right. Bowl 20 overs.
Bat, go out and bat. All that. No. Sat there, didn't do anything, didn't bowl, bound on the boundary the whole time. And so then, I don't know, got 20-odd not out, came out angry, batted angry, hit some fucking angry shots, and... came off and the captain came up and said, oh, you know, well done. And I said to him, yeah, cool, man. Can you let me play next week? And I didn't get picked. I didn't get picked again. So, and I stand by that. I stand by that decision because that's what happens a lot to young players as well. You're picking them for no reason and you throw them out of the game. But anyway, so they picked you at eight. And you failed a couple of times.
And I failed a couple of times and wasn't great in the field. Like, just, I was a...
Big friendly gains.
I was just, when you're in form, you're in form, and when you're not, you're not. And it just turned on a dime.
Yeah.
And I then got dropped back to second grade.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a run. So, but there were people in third grade that were getting runs.
Yeah.
I then got dropped back to third grade.
So in the space of a couple of weeks, you went from first grade and then second grade and then third grade.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, at that time, just to add a little bit of context, it's only context for you and me because no one else gives a shit, but we were living in Newcastle.
Right.
I wasn't training.
No.
I wasn't coming down to train. So that's another big thing. That's a thing. If you're not showing up to training, then you get zero...
Yeah.
Leeway.
No points. No respect points.
Nothing.
No.
Exactly. So I'm back in third grade. second last game of the season, I got a pair.
A pair is? If anyone's still
A pair is when you bat in two innings in the same game and get zero runs in both innings.
I don't think I've talked to you enough about this. Okay, so this is rock bottom?
This is rock bottom. Now, not only is getting a pair rock bottom,
yeah,
I got that pair in the same day.
So you batted...
This random pitch that we were on, which right. was a... It was out at the entrance, and it had a big split down the middle. Right. And so the AstroTurf had been laid the wrong way. So it all the AstroTurf pointed towards the middle rather than pointing away, which would have skidded on.
Right.
So this one, it would hit and grab, and so you wouldn't actually be able to time the ball. So I got caught in the covers twice playing basic pushes.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Right? But
pair on the same day.
So, 3 weeks later, in third grade,
yeah,
I then hit the tying runs in the grand final.
Right.
Right? And we won the grand final.
Yes.
So Cowie and I were batting.
Yeah.
To win the grand, like to win the grand final. Now, the problem was, right, I went from being top of the tree, like thinking I was fucking all that.
Yeah, so you're the wizard flying into Australia to dominate.
Batting at seven in third grade.
Yeah.
But you know what the funny thing was about that? I didn't lose a game that season.
Is that true?
The team that I was in won every single... No, sorry, I think we lost one game. Wow. So I think I played 11 games and we lost one. So I was 10 and 1, including the grand final.
That is amazing. I remember that grand final because I remember you going out to bat, and my dad, in his dry sense of humour, saying to me as you went out to bat, "I've never ever seen a man less enthused to go out and bat in a grand final." Yep. All right. So yes.
You know why? Because all of that had happened, and I was fucking petrified.
Yeah, so that's what I love. What I love about form. Mm. I can't tell you how much I love that about form. When you are in form, it's the easiest game in the world. You don't think about anything else. You just go out and go, "Oh, yep, all right." I remember in England, the last two games I played, I got... I don't know, 100 and then a 90-something not out. And yep. I remember batting and thinking to myself at one point, when I get to 50, I'll just have a bit of a slog and get out. Like, what?
Like, yeah, why would you think that?
Yeah, and then when got to 50, I was like, "Don't be stupid, don't do that." But to, like, "Oh, this is pretty easy." Like, this game, cricket's a pretty easy game.
Oh, this will happen every time
I go. Yeah, and it's bizarre because when you are in a form slump, I don't know if I was in a form slump that bad. Maybe, like, I've been in some bad, shitty form slump where I couldn't score a run. I never got a pair in the same day. And I was never terrified. Like,
that's got to win something.
I was never terrified to go out and bat at seven in a grand final with 10 runs to win or whatever it was.
Well, that was the thing. You know what the funny thing was? Well, there was a lot of funny things that in relation to that, but I hit the ball as sweet. Like, I went out and just went, "Just watch the ball."
All right, this is going to freak everyone out, and I've talked enough about cricket here. But Wiggins played a shot off his pads that he hit so sweetly, flew out into the outfield for a certain boundary to win the game, and plugged in the wet outfield. Is that right?
Now, this happened. Absolutely correct. I couldn't have hit it any better.
This happened maybe 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Just cricket is buried in my brain. At all levels of all standards that I've seen, any moment of drama is in there. All right, so that's the.
So I didn't get to hit the winning runs.
No,
but to be perfectly honest, I probably didn't deserve to win the hit the winning runs.
I know, but wouldn't that have been amazing to have God. That experience, to be up and down all those grades and then hit the winning run? Now, I just remembered something of when I was in a horrible form slump. I don't know. It might have been the season before yours, where I couldn't score a run. I opened the batting and I just could not score a run. But the people I had... Normally you would get dropped, but because I opened the batting and no one wants to open the batting,
yep.
No one in third in the below was scoring any runs and no one wanted to open, so nothing.
You get a bit of leeway.
Heaps of leeway. I didn't score any runs. I scored like 150 as an opener and I bet for 4 years or something like that. It's bizarre. Oh. But I remember at the lowest point, my dad saying to me, "Maybe have you thought about wearing your glasses when you batted?" And then I was like, fuck, that's as bad as it gets. It's not the eyes, you silly man. It's what's behind the eyes.
The feet and
it's
the hands.
It's what's behind the eyes that are the problem. It's the, I don't know, what the fuck. Okay, so that was in from one season, from the wizard to shitting yourself, going out of the bat.
That was in 11 games.
Love it, I love.
Over the course of 11 or 12 games.
One was, summer, just... Fucking losing your shit.
And I didn't play again after that.
Really? That was your last season?
I didn't play any competitive,
wow,
organised cricket after that.
Right. Wow, okay. I didn't realise that. Well, that'll do it to you.
Yep.
From the wizard to retired in like 6 months is...
Yep. I found those wizard articles the other day too.
Really? Can you... Oh, anyway, send one to me and I'll... put it up as an image. The wizard strikes again. Holy crap. Okay, so are you equally as crazy in that for some reason you think about those disappointments at weird hours of the night? Well, maybe that's not so much of a thing for you because you talking about winning the grand final...
Yep.
My nephew was in a grand final on the weekend and his team lost. Yep. And I said to my brother, I said, just tell him that his uncle, in every however many seasons, you know, 20, 25, 30 seasons of cricket that I played,
yep,
I won one semi-final. That's it.
Wow.
I won a semi-final in the under-12s when I was 12. A team, yep, I was playing in won a semi-final. That was the only finals game of cricket that I ever won in 30 seasons of cricket.
Wow.
Yeah. I never won a grand final. I don't even know if I played in like a final in, certainly in seniors. I don't think I did. Just never got near it.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? And I only thought
of
it the other day.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah, I only thought of it the other day. It's like, yeah, don't have any finals. So why play this stupid fucking game? Because that's what I was saying. I was thinking before. When you're in form, the day is short. There's not enough cricket. I can play cricket tomorrow. Who's playing the game? Yep. I'll play. But when you're out of form, it's a long fucking day.
Yep.
It's a long day. To wait to do something you don't really want to do.
It's also an odd game. Like you were talking about like reminiscing and strange moments popping up in your mind.
Yeah.
Like you were a bowler and a batsman, right? So you had a few more on-field memories to pull from, really.
That is true. I wish I listened.
Part of that 17 minutes.
There was a guy, that's right. There was a guy who we grew up with, Steve Catley. This little runty dude, amazing cricketing brain, could just see into your soul and go, no, you should be doing this. And for years, he just would say, so are you a bowler yet? I'm like, no, opening batsman. And he was like, yeah, I think you're a bowler. For years. And I was like, no, don't be stupid. And then finally, whatever year it was, I was like, yep, all right, I'll bat it. Eight or whatever. I'll bat it seven or eight and bowl. That's heaps of fun. It's heaps more fun.
Yeah.
Oh, batting's pretty easy when you come in at seven or eight.
Ball soft. No dramas.
Someone might be going nuts down the other end, make you look good.
Now, when you are a batsman,
yes,
just a batsman,
yes,
you think about things a little bit strangely.
Yes.
And I still think one of the best innings I ever played was when I got 17 at the entrance.
I can tell. Oh, no, I got 13 when I was still fucking awesome.
Now, that is an odd fucking... That's a really odd thing about cricket.
Yes.
Is that people say, oh, that 100 I got, or that, you know, I got a really tough 50, or I got 70-odd, or... I just remember...
Yeah.
That 17...
Yeah.
Because the team we're playing against was so much better than us.
Yeah.
They were so much better than us. And it was... Like, we had an... I think we had a 60-year-old opening the batting.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it off the square.
Yeah.
I went in at 3 and batted for like an hour and a half. And got 17. And just... It was just really good.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like I said, yeah. I one of the best innings I played, I got 13. Still don't reckon I was out. LB. So far forward.
Oh, dear. Yes. Oh, God, we could talk about that too.
But yeah, it's I know what you mean. There's some times where you're like, all right, stupid game. Only takes one ball. Yes, all that jazz.
Yep.
Yeah, 13. It's the best innings I played in for your minor was when I scored 13.
That's fucking odd.
Yeah, it's a horrible game when that happens. You just go, yeah. All right, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm out.
Here's another weird thing about that time I spent in England.
Yeah.
I bowled one over. Right? Bowled one over in... Yeah. Oh, I was playing 3 times a week for 5 months. Bowled one over. Right. It was the last over of the last game that we played.
Yeah.
I got 2 for 2 off that over. I bowled two people with straight balls.
And they're just swiping across the line, were they?
Pretty much.
Okay, so, all right, we're going to wrap this. We're going to wrap down, and we're just going to end up talking about, remember this happened, and
sorry,
I scored this, and I, oh, yep, that was
just weird. Cricket's a fucking weird game. Sport's weird.
Sport is weird. So, if you can break it down as best you can, how does sport / cricket relate to life?
Okay.
Why is it the game? Like, why is it that this podcast could be 27 hours long without a doubt? No drama.
Because magic. Because fucking magic. That's why. Like, what is happening, and, like, sometimes you get to be a bit magic yourself. Like, so what keeps coming back to my brain, and again... I'm really digressing into fucking the minutiae of it, but Andy Bickle bowled Michael Vaughan in the 2003 World Cup with an outswinger that will be burnt into my brain, and then did the same thing to Nasser Hussain 2 overs later that will be burnt into my brain. And it's fucking, like, because it's magic. Like, it is actually magic what these people do in this sport, right? Like, Shane Warne was literally a magician.
Yes.
Like, we would call him a magician.
No idea how he did what he did.
No, exactly. Like, it was everything he did.
It is nice, isn't it? It is nice to know that we were at the right age to see a once-in-a-generation cricketer, or once-in-a-life.
Exactly.
One of the five, what do they call them, the five cricketers of the century.
The wisdom, yeah. Like him and Sobers and...
And Viv Richards and Bradman.
And Bradman and...
The other guy. Who's the other guy? And, shit.
Hobbs? Was it fucking... Yeah, Jack Hobbs?
Maybe.
Oh, who cares? He's
bloody old. Apologies to number five.
That's right.
Yes, but so, we got to see that. Yes, anyway, sorry, Wiggins. Carry on.
So, cricket is magic.
Mm.
Like, I just think, like, that's... And the funny thing is, like, I'm, being a batsman, I enjoy, even now, like, I prefer to watch Australia bowl because, I mean, this is a completely different tangent, but watching us bat the game changes in two balls in a bad way for us. Whereas when we're bowling, the game changes in a good way for us. And I am... I can feel my emotions, my personal, like my personal life. I'll wake up in the morning after Australia and South Africa and we're 3 for 300. And I wake up and go, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I wake up and we're 9 for 210 after winning the toss and batting and go, oh, fucking shit. And it starts, and makes and it affects sad. My day. Yeah. That's right. Like it does. Like it affects my day.
Yeah.
But then you go and you watch the highlights and you see, okay, well, fucking Mitchell Stark's just knocked a dude over, or, you know, and like it affects me on a daily basis, and the way that my children affect me on a daily basis. And, you know, cricket has nothing to do with my day-to-day life.
No.
But it has everything to do with my day-to-day life.
Yeah, and it's certainly now as well. I find that I keep a lot of that to myself. I don't have many friends at work who are massive cricket followers. But you carry it around. You carry the... If the game's poised or it's particularly tense...
Yes.
Especially if it's, like you said, South Africa or England. And so during the day, you're like, what's going to happen tonight? Oh, shit, what if this happens?
Yeah.
All of that stuff plays in your mind. But I'm gonna ask you one final question.
Sorry, I didn't really answer
no,
that.
No, no, you said cricket is magic. That's pretty... I loved what you said about how sometimes you get to do the magic things, because there are things that I've done on the cricket field which I don't know how I did them. Usually involving catches where you're like,
yeah,
that's, well, that ended up in my hand.
Like,
how did that happen?
You know, that Kane Williamson catch today, like he got 91 not out,
yeah,
right, after taking that catch. But he'll go home and have a big fucking smile on his face because he took that fucking catch.
Yeah, you'll go on YouTube and you'll watch himself take that catch and go, that was all right.
I did that. Yeah, it was fucking magic.
How'd they do that? Don't know. That was good. I'm happy with that. But yeah, you do get to do those things where you might hit a ball, you might take a catch, you might do a run out, where you're like, huh. And again, it's going just turning into stories, but I remember, I never did this before and I never did it since, but I remember playing in a game and being at point and throwing the ball for a run out and missing the stumps with a guy a fair way out. And he smiled at me with like a wry grin. And I said to him, you only get one chance. And then the next time he hit it to me, I threw the stumps down and ran him out. And I've never, ever said anything like that, ever.
You were very quiet on the field.
You know why? And this is what I'm going to say. This is what the question is, what has cricket taught you? And this isn't what cricket taught me. This is what my dad taught me, because my dad never played cricket until he was like 40. And this is the scary thing. I thought he was really old when he like started playing cricket for the first time, but he was like 43. It's not that old. But he spent a lot of time obviously watching me and my brother play cricket. Mm-hmm. And he taught me a lot about how to play the game. And I don't know where he got these ideas from. Just, I think that's how he liked the game to be played.
Just the general attitudes.
Here are the general attitudes of cricket that he taught me. If you're batting, shut up, because you can get out the next ball. Which I never. I don't like sledging. I don't like it as a player. I was never good at it, so I never really liked it. But when I was 12, and I still remember this. And it's an excellent piece of parenting, was I played in a game, a semi-final that we lost, and I was bowling and I got someone out, I bowled them out, and I was like, woohoo, like running around, and I said, yeah, what a ball, or something like that. Yeah. And then like the next over, I took a catch and I was like, what a catch, and running around like an idiot. Anyway, so I was doing all that, and he might have been umpiring at the time. And then we lost and whatever, got in the car and it was me, and one of our oldest friends, Dave, was in the car, and he said, he didn't look back, he's just driving, and he just said, so you call out, what a catch, and what a ball. All everyone was thinking was, what a dickhead. It was so bracing. It was so bracing and just... I've never forgot it because he was 100% right.
Because you see it.
You got to you got to respect the game. You got to respect people right. that you're playing against. And he was always the one that was like, you got to go into the opposition dressing room and thank them. And I've gone in horribly when we've lost by like 3 runs, like in the closest game. And I felt like really responsible for that happening. And to go in and just be like, thanks for the game, boys, and have them while they're singing and slapping each other on the back and talking about how great they are, to go in and just go, thank you, that was an excellent game of cricket, wasn't it? And then go back into a horrible funeral-like place. So that's what cricket taught me, those things, but also that's from my dad, was just, don't be a dickhead.
Yep.
I don't know how often I followed that, but...
But, like, do you know who taught me that? Bob Connors.
Oh, right.
I had absolutely nothing to do with a particular wicket that fell in under 11s or 12s. But I did this fucking dance. I did a fucking dance.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was umpiring.
Yeah.
And he saw me start doing this dance and I was whooping around and he basically came up and he put his finger in my chest and he went, you do not do that on the cricket field.
Yeah. Don't be a dickhead.
Basically, that was my don't be a dickhead moment. And I will always remember that because it was, basically cricket, it teaches you humility because at any particular stage.
You know how it teaches you humility, Wiggins? Because one day you're a wizard and the next minute you're fucking shitting yourself.
You're a fucking wanker. And
I think we might. Thank you, Wiggins, for joining us for this cultured chat about cricket. I hope people are still with us.
I know a couple of people that will still be with us, but that's fine. Hey, Juice.
Thank you, sir.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.